Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the idea of enlightenment and discuss learning some methods used in the process of levitation. Listen as we review pratyahara, sense withdrawal, as a practice to lighten one's sense of self. In this show, we will explain union with the divine and the evidence procedure that rises above corporeal sense and corrects it. Spirit is perfect and translates everything into itself. Only spirit knows spirit. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and lift identity into spiritual oneness. Swami, the title of today's show is How to Rise Above Material Sense. So I know that's a lot to talk about. So how should we get started with that?
Well, I kind of like working with that concept of pratyahara, sense withdrawal, because that's a statement that we've been working out of are the eight essential stages of Kriya Yoga. So rather than reinvent the wheel, what we're trying to do is get a better understanding of what that's going to look like when we're actually doing it, to rise above corporeal sense and forsake all our modes of mortal thinking for this divine knowing, and to let this divine mind take over the scientific government of our body is what we're aspiring to accomplish. And as we know, these are words in a book until you can actually demonstrate the presence of this divine law.
And so we talked about the process of levitation. So the eight stages of yoga is a process. And so we would be using those eight stages to help us with this process of levitation that we mentioned in the summary.
Right. To rise above material or corporeal sense. That's the way that I would define levitation. And it is a lightening of oneself that enables us to be buoyant, to rise above the changing conditions of our personal mentality, the belief in matter, and to be able to handle the false activity of the carnal mind, the testimony of our five senses. That's a pretty interesting order. Before, we weren't really going quite that far.
So let's talk more about pratyahara. What exactly is it? Can you just redefine that again? And then how do we employ that into our daily life?
Well, pratyahara is the fifth stage of yoga, and it is described as sense withdrawal. And so as we started to educate ourselves about divine science and the idea of living above corporeal sense, it just made perfect sense to me that pratyahara and living above corporeal sense was one and the same thing, just different terms and maybe coming at it one from a Christian perspective and the other one from the Hindu yoga plan that has been in place. But truth is truth as far as I'm concerned, and it doesn't matter where you're going to get that truth or what you need to do in order to understand this truth. The main thing is that you want to make sure that what you're calling truth is the truth. And that's what we keep talking about is avidya. It's when we're mistaking the false for the true. We need something that is demonstrable. We need to be able to prove that we have risen above corporeal sense. Otherwise, the way that it plays out is that we are just a human thinking that we're spiritual, thinking that we are knowing this truth, as opposed to understanding the divine omnipresence as a demonstrable principle.
So let's talk more about how we would exercise pratyahara in a daily routine, daily lives. What does that look like?
Well, I think the way that we work it in yoga is that you start with yama, niyama, asana, and then pranayama. That these are strategies and lifestyle recommendations that you would start to enlist. But basically what we're doing is we're trying to fill our thought with the divine idea. That the first order of business is that your first stage of yoga, which is yama, and your fifth yama is called brahmacharya. It means carrier of Brahman. And what we have to do is really internalize spirit. We need to identify with spirit as the truth of our being. And in order to do that, we must give up our belief in matter. The physics of spirituality is like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. We can't be a corporeal, finite, mortal being and an eternal spiritual being. If you internalize spirit as your symbol for validation, then the panel's wired. Then I think the rest of it will come from within, that you can let this divine omnipresence guide you from within. It will make all of the necessary corrections. But if you don't have that experience right from the get-go, then you could start to enlist niyamas, which are more lifestyle recommendations, purification, austerity, contentment, sacred study, and attunement to this absolute. Because basically what we're trying to do, like we said, is fill human thought with these divine ideas. And again, if we can let go of our material moorings, and we make our thought buoyant, then this levitation enables us to start to be at the same level of consciousness as divine mind. We rise out of the belief in the many, and now we start to experience the presence of the one divine life.
So practicing the sense withdrawal, how do we go about doing that every day? What is it that we have to withdraw from? How do we withdraw our senses?
Well, we're trying to separate our identity from personal sense, from the belief in matter, from the false activity of the carnal mind, from our modes of mortal thought, the five sense testimony, this world. We want to come out of duality, a belief in two powers. And as we start to lift ourselves and identify ourselves as spirit, spirit is whole, it's complete, it's the one eternal life of this entire universe. It's the self-existent principle of this universe. And we must accept that as our identity. And in order to do that, you must put off your belief in matter, your belief that you are a finite mortal creature.
Let's explain the union with the divine and the evidence procedure that rises above corporeal sense and corrects it. So I really want to spend some time on rising above this corporeal sense and correcting it. What does that look like?
This connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind and the real man. And so once we have shifted our identity to spiritual, which is the real man, that is what is governed by the divine creation, by acknowledging spirit, that activates spirit into your experience. And spirit or divine mind is functioning right here, right now. So we're not really asking this divine omnipresence to do anything for us, but what we are trying to do is attune ourselves to it right here, right now. Our level of consciousness is going to be determined by whatever it is that we desire. That if we are still living out from the belief in matter, we desire things that are visible and tangible, then that will create the attraction, the like attracts like. Only we will be attracted to concepts, problems, a belief in two powers. If we rise above a belief in matter and we accept mental identity, if we believe that we are a invisible but tangible astral being, then we still have a belief in two powers. We're still under the law of karma. We're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. But we're attracted to thoughts. We're attracted to things that are invisible but tangible. But if we can purge ourselves of what is visible and tangible and invisible but tangible, and now we can accept what is invisible and intangible, spirit, as the symbol that we're going to use to validate ourselves, now we can set up the flow. We can set up the channels of communication with spirit, because like attracts like.
What would be the benefit of filling our thoughts with these divine ideas?
Well, mainly by filling your thought with divine ideas, it makes your thought buoyant, thus lifting awareness above the five sense level into the realms eventually of spirit. I like to use the example of a siphon to illustrate what may be happening as we begin to open the channel of communication with divine mind, spirit. Because if you've ever tried to siphon fluid out of a gas tank or out of a container and put it into another container, you have to fill the hose with the liquid. And once you fill that hose, provided that one is higher than the other, gravity will bring the fluid from the container that is above into the container that is below. And so it's a very similar thing to my understanding as what happens with divine ideas, that these divine ideas are pouring out continuously. The word of God is right here. It's right now. And all we really have to do is be aware of them. And in order for us to be aware of them, we must develop spiritual sense. That's what the Christ is. The Christ is what makes divine intelligence, divine idea, the Word of God, intelligible to human consciousness.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to get back to more about filling thoughts with these divine ideas.
I have a quote here from the Decalogue by Ames Knowles. I'll read the whole thing and then we can explore it a little bit. But he says, human good at its best is a limited sense of good, whereas divine good is forever unlimited. Therefore, the expression of human goodness is not sufficient to qualify us for admission to heaven. There must be genuine spiritualization of thought if access is to be gained to the state of the divine mind, which is mind's understanding and experience of omnipresent and boundless good. Thus, the nature of our thoughts determine our qualifications. The more our thinking becomes godlike, the closer consciousness will be to that heavenly state in which all sense of limitation is unknown. Instead of robbing deity by denying his allness and ever-presence, as human material thinking does, spiritual, divinely subjective knowing attributes to the great I Am all good and enables us thereby to enter by the door of understanding into the sheepfold. The thought unity that we're looking for here is where the connection happens. We're trying to find that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. And if we've never had that experience, then it's trial and error, as far as my understanding of it, that you really are trying to be a good human at first, and then you realize that it's not what the books are saying. And I love what Mary Baker Eddy said, we must think with God as God. That we have to stop being a human thinking up to God, and we have to start to accept God as our mind, and then begin to live out from that divine awareness.
So I like what he says, that the expression of human goodness is not sufficient to qualify us for admission to heaven. And we've talked about that first, that it's not about the good deeds that get you to heaven. Isn't this heaven all around us right now?
Right, that we must accept spiritual identity. We have to realize that we are not a mortal creature, that we are an eternal spiritual being. And that becomes a revelation. And when we have this revelation, then that truth of our being will dissolve this false activity that we're experiencing from mortal mind.
He goes on and says, the more our thinking becomes godlike, the closer consciousness will be to that heavenly state. And I think that is exactly what I think we're trying to do, trying to come up with practices to enable us to do just that.
We're creating an opportunity. We have to understand that, I like what the Bible says, we need to repent. We need to think differently. We have to graduate from mortal mind, from five sense thinking, which is pratyahara, we have to rise above corporeal sense, which is where most of us reside. That's what we identify with, that's what we believe in, and that's what we accept. And it's limited. So once you have realized that I got off at the wrong stop, now you want to get back on course. And in order to do that, you have to come out of the modes of mortal thinking. The Bible says, take no thought for thine own self. And the practice that we enlist is just making our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And divine mind doesn't report in your five senses, even though it's right here, right now, and it's running its perfect universe right before our very human eyes, but we don't see it. And so by us filling our thought with this word of God, with these divine ideas, the invisible, intangible, divine, creative principle, then by watching, waiting, and also the development of the Christ, which will now develop spiritual sense. And I like the way that Ames Noel says it here. He calls it genuine spiritualization of thought, that we are developing spiritual sense. By us being aware of this truth and by letting truth use us, truth isn't something that we use to correct our human experience. It works differently. We make our mind an avenue of awareness for truth, and then truth expresses itself through us, which will correct our thought. And the formula still remains the same: how we think is what we become. But when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
And that last line that you said enables us thereby to enter by the door of understanding into the sheepfold. Can you just break that down a little bit more for me?
Yeah, Ames Noel gets that from John 10:1-2. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheepfold here is divine consciousness.
He continues on saying, there is only one way whereby to enter heaven. It is through complete spiritualization of thought. To this end, all personal material misconceiving must be forsaken. And again, I think that is what we've been talking about these last couple of months.
Sure, we have to give up personal sense. But by the same token, the spiritualization of thought does that, because we come out of the belief in the many into the understanding of the one. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled.
Ames Knowles talks about duality. I'm wondering if you could maybe review our notes on that.
Yeah, this also came from the Decalogue. It is important to recognize that there can be but one infinite. The coexistence of two infinites is a metaphysical and a philosophical impossibility. If there is nothing apart from, beside, beyond, or outside of the infinite, there can be but one. Dualism, or two-ness, is no part of God's nature. And this is what we've been saying, that spirit is whole, it's complete. There's only one. And that's an important principle that we need to start to understand. That if there is but one life, and it is absolute goodness, then what is it that we're experiencing? Who am I? Who are you? What is all of this discord? What is sickness, suffering, death? These are all the activity of the world mind. It is human thought about what's really here.
I know you were talking to somebody about this just the other day. We have to come to the realization that we are all one of the same. And I think that's an important point, that we have to have this great understanding.
Right. But it's not on a physical level. That's the thing. That's why we must rise above corporeal sense. We must identify with divine mind, spirit, and begin to change how we think from thinking with human conjecture to thinking with the absolute. That's why Mary Baker Eddy makes a very clear distinction between thought and idea. That our ability to form thoughts and opinions is of our own ignorance. That divine idea is absolute. It's not a belief in two powers. It's not forming opinions and conclusions based on incomplete information.
We know the trap of being judgmental, right? And that's definitely a mortal situation.
Right, and that's what we said. To judge righteously was to see the spiritual truth, to see the oneness of everything, that what is before you can only be this one divine, omnipresent life. And if it doesn't have the qualities of spirit, peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, then it can't be spirit. And those are the things that we have to be on guard for. And we have to reject the false activity of the carnal mind, of world mind.
So if our thoughts don't have those attributes that you just mentioned, then that's a pretty good signal that that's coming from our mortal thought and not divine idea.
Right. And then we have the choice. Am I going to accept that, or am I going to reject it and affirm the truth? And as long as we have fidelity to this divine creation, this absolute heaven on earth, we can't activate it. If there's doubt, if there's fear, if there's uncertainty, we must know the truth. That this divine omnipresence is all. And in order to do it successfully, we need spiritual sense.
Well, we have one more quote from the Decalogue from Ames Knowles, and that is, "The more consciousness approaches the divine state of mind, in which mind is cognizing the infinite, unlimited abundance of its own existence as the all in all, the more experience will take on the character of divinity made evident in a greater sense of completeness." Now that kind of sounds like a mouthful. I'm wondering, maybe can you break that down for us?
What he's saying here is that how we think is what we become, but the more our consciousness approaches the divine state, the more that we let divine mind take over the government of our being, and we let it express itself through us, then it will start to outpicture as divine experiences. And that's what we mean by correct the corporeal senses.
Well, we do have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And then once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner when that comes with Blog Talk Radio Show. If you click that on, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then the products tab, if you click that, and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available to further your spiritual experiences. Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and lift identity into spiritual oneness. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful yoga kind of day. Namaste.